Hi, and welcome to the show. My guest is Dr. David Schoenfeld. He's a developmental behavioral pediatrician and the Thelma and Jack Rubenstein Professor of Pediatrics, Director of the Division of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics, and Director of the National Center for School Crisis and Bereavement at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. That's a mouthful. Welcome to the show, Dr. Schoenfeld.
Nice to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here. So, you know, this topic is not always one that, you know, you discuss in big company. It's not always one that seems like you want to discuss it because it's like maybe you're jinxing it, but it's certainly one that you don't want to have to discuss and not know how to do it when you do have to discuss it. So give us a little bit of background and information on how we can help our children. If somebody in the family dies, start with that. How do you talk to your children? What do you tell? And what age is kind of appropriate to start really being truthful about things?
Okay. Well, first off, I think that any age is the right age to be truthful with children. If you deceive children or you don't give them accurate information, starting at very young ages, children eventually figure that out, sometimes actually at very young ages. And they know not to trust their parents. And this is something where we really want them to feel comfortable asking questions. There may be very few opportunities for them to get accurate information outside of the family. So I would say at any age, you should be talking to children. And we need to recognize that even very young children, infants and toddlers, start to think about loss. And actually, there are games that we play with children at very young ages which deal with loss.
So what kind of games are you talking about?
Well, if you think about it, sometime in the second half of the first year of life, children start to play a game in all cultures around the world that has to do with separation and reunion. And it comes about when children start to develop object permanence. They start to realize that when something's out of sight, it still can exist and they can miss it. So children all in their second half of the first year of life start to play peekaboo in cultures everywhere. And if you think about it, it's a game about loss. The infant fixes their gaze on someone that's important to them. There is loss, or at least separation, and then joy at reunion. And they play it over and over again. And then it becomes hide and seek. But it's a game that they feel driven to play. And actually, peekaboo, if you translate it from Old English directly, what you are actually saying is alive or dead. So it is a game about loss and one of many games that kids play starting from their first year of life where they're trying to start talking with you about loss. And so we need to be ready to start talking with them when they're ready.
So do we prepare them for something like this? You know, suppose we have older relatives, we all have older relatives, maybe somebody older is sick or in a nursing home. Do you prepare your child? And I guess this is terrible, but I mean, I'm going to include pets as well.
Sure.
Older pets that the kids are very attached to, that sort of thing. Do you prepare them and say, well, you know, honey, this is going to be what's going to happen soon? Or do you kind of wait till it happens?
Well, it depends. I mean, the issue first off is you should realize that children are exposed to loss many, many times, usually before they experience a very significant personal loss. So we have a lot of opportunities to talk with them about it, to explain it to them, to share with them some of the feelings that are associated and some of the things you can do to cope with it. So I would hope that the first time you bring it up isn't right when there is a loss that's impending. Now, if somebody is very seriously ill, it's a relative or a pet, then I think it's useful to explain to children that that person is very sick, that we're doing everything we can to help the person get better, but that some people are concerned that we might not be able to cure it or that they might not get better, and that that is why people are sad or people are concerned. So even with a very young child, I think that that is an important way of starting to have them understand what's going on. The last thing you want children to think is that somebody's completely well and then all of a sudden they're dead and that just happens fairly randomly to people. That is a very frightening perception of the world. So it is a good idea to prepare children that somebody is seriously ill when they are seriously ill. But you should also keep in mind that if you say someone is going to die soon, for a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, that might mean before dinner. And so if really the concern is that someone is seriously ill and may have a life-limiting condition or may not live, you know, another 10 or 20 years, that you might want to keep in mind the child's perspective of time when you use that term.
So suppose something has gone on in the family, somebody close to them has died, or something has happened along those lines. What do we look for, Dr. Schoenfeld, in our children to see how they're taking it? I mean, one of my children cried for days when the goldfish died. And, I mean, hard. But she'd known this little fish since she was 2. And so with a human being, I imagine it's so much bigger that they can't even wrap their minds around it. How do we identify signs of problems in our children with dealing with these things?
Okay. Well, first off, I think you need to start to talk with them so that they can share with you how they feel. Children will often not react after there's been a loss for a number of reasons. One is that they may not understand what's occurred, or they might not understand the implications, either short-term or long-term, for them and those that they care about. Or they may understand that something has gone on, but feel uncomfortable talking about it. You know, when we sit down and have a conversation about a loss with a child that's affected the family, let's say a parent has died, and dad sits down and explains that mom is dead, and then the child starts to get upset, or the parent gets upset. So let's say that the child says, well, does that mean that, you know, mom's not going to be home for my birthday? Well, then often dad will cry. And the child doesn't think, oh, dad is showing a normal reaction to grief that I elicited by raising the question, and now we have the opportunity to share our grief together. Usually young children and even older children will think, I made daddy cry, I did something naughty, I won't do that again. And what they do then is they'll turn to the parent and say, it's okay, I can do what mom used to do, I can take out the trash the way she did every day, I'll take care of you, dad. And the kid's parent then thinks that the child is doing great while they're falling apart. But actually often what it is the child doesn't feel permission to even talk. And they have to then deal with it alone. And that'll come out either at school or someplace else or in their play, or they may just wait and hold on to it and try and deal with it themselves, and later you'll see evidence. So part of it is start talking. The other part of it is make sure they understand what's happened. Children often feel that it's their fault that someone has died, that they did something, didn't do something, or should have done something that might have changed what occurred, and they feel guilty about it. And they may not even want to talk about what's happened. And unless you talk with the children about what's happened and help them understand truly what occurred, they are likely to feel personally responsible, even when it's completely illogical.
Dr. Schoenfeld, when we think of children, we think of their tiny, fragile little selves and their little souls and feelings. Are they as fragile as we think? Do they bounce back from these kinds of things better than adults?
Well, I think, you know, they do bounce back. They are resilient. Resilient doesn't mean, though, that they don't suffer. And resilient doesn't mean that they don't suffer deeply. They have a capacity to adjust and to recover to, enormous challenges, just as many adults do. But the issue is we really need to help them so they bounce back faster and don't go quite as deep down. So, yes, they are resilient, and that is true. But a lot of times children may look like they're doing better than they really are because they either hide their feelings or they express them in different ways, or quite honestly, we don't want to see them suffering. So we often ignore the signs when they're there.
Well, when we come back, we're still going to be on with Dr. David Schoenfeld, and we're going to discuss identifying some of these signs of stress in your children, preventing some of these problems before they arrive. We're going to talk about supporting our children after disaster or crisis, and I think it's important for us parents to be able to identify these signs in our children, to know what certain things mean if your child is clingy, if they're really nervous, if they're sad. So we're going to ask all these questions to Dr. Schonfeld. Stay tuned to Healthy Children. We'll be back in just a minute.